you get a chance to share Jesus, and sometimes you don't, but that's okay. You're always looking for those opportunities, those divine appointments where God just sends somebody across your path that you can bless. So don't ever let those slip by. Now, we're going to have sheets out there. Well, we do have them on the table, I think, if I brought them out anyway. There's a little testimony sheets out there. So I know sometimes people just, public speaking is like the number one fear. And I understand that. So if you want to just write something down, you don't even have to put your name on it. I will go ahead and read it from up here. Just fill it out when you come in on Sunday morning. Bring it right up here, and I'll read it. Don't even have to have your name on it. But we want to celebrate every chance we get to take this love and give it away. Amen? So please remember to do that. And by the way, thanks a lot for all the food that's been coming in for Tommy's house. I mean, I have taken two big full loads over there already. I mean, it doesn't do them any good sitting here in our lobby. So anyway, so I get them over there, and next Sunday is going to be the last Sunday for that. Okay? Yes, Tony?
I told you that my boss gave me an air conditioner.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, well, great, I can sleep in the upstairs bedroom where the good bed is, but it's too hot to sleep up there in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only does it cool the bedroom just great, if I leave the door open and put an exhaust fan, because of the way my house sits against the sun, there's only a couple places that'll come in and heat the house up. I can cool the whole house, save the second bedroom and the bathroom, but the whole downstairs and the bedroom I sleep in.
From one upstairs? Wow. That's cool. Was it 5,000? Yeah, BTUs. That's cool, because that's not going to run your electric bill way up either.
So that's $44 a year. I don't believe that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But anyway, hey, tonight, Growth Track 101 class is going to be held. So how many are coming for the class? We had a whole bunch of more people here last week than we got here this week. I hope they remember to come, because, man, we're cooking lasagna. We got tossed salad. We got garlic bread. Oh, yeah. And not only that, we got brownies. So you don't want to miss it, you know. So anyway, we're going to take good care of you. That'll be tonight at 6 o'clock. So hopefully you can come and be a part of that, and it'll be fantastic. Amen. We'll get you started on the track for growing. Now, this one big family banquet that we're going to have, this big party that we're having next Sunday right after church, we've got a lot of people signed up for food, but we don't have a whole lot of people signed up to help set up. And that can be guys or gals. It doesn't make any difference. But the Hispanic family church is going to be bringing their folks to help set things up. Because Saturday, we want to set the big canopies up. And then when we're having church on Sunday morning, they're going to be out there setting up the tables and chairs. So that as soon as we're done with the service, we get all the food out there, boom, we're good to go. So then we'll have our banquet, you know, after we get done with church, because they don't start theirs till 2 o'clock, so we'll fit it in there just fine. So we need your help, so don't forget to sign up, because next week, well, this coming Saturday, it is the big day for getting it all set up. I'm so excited about that. It's just great having the two churches work together in one church building, glorifying God. Do you realize that by the time we get into August, that we're going to only have one day in the week where this church is not being used for the glory of God? Yeah. Yeah. Because Carol Mercer is going to be starting a 12-step Christian 12-step program on Monday nights. So Tuesday, the Hispanic church has an evening service. Wednesday, we got our evening service. Thursday, we got our youth group. Friday, they got another evening service. Wow, this is cool. I just think it's wonderful. So anyway, it's a good thing. So hey, let's go ahead and do some praying. By the way, Jeannie Bex is not here today. He's still pretty broken up over the loss of his sister. We'd been praying for her. She'd had a heart failure and all kinds of things going on. Then last week, it looked like she was not going to make it during the week, and then she rebounded, and she was doing fine, and then she passed. So we want to definitely keep Jeannie and his family lifted up in prayer, along with all the other folks on the prayer list. And then we got Gloria's daughter, Corinne, fell and broke both bones in her right leg. Boy, I guess if you're going to do something, you might as well go all the way, right? That's a tough one to heal up from, by the way. So praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are the prayer answering God. We keep lifting these folks up before you, Lord, because we know you care. And Lord, every time we open our hearts in faith and love, Lord, we know that we're praying according to your will. So we absolutely are certain that you hear us. And that means you're going to do what we ask you to do, Lord. So we lift up Corinne for a rapid healing over her legs, for Jeannie, for his broken heart, Lord, for Bill, and you know, dealing with the Alzheimer's. for all these folks, Lord, with Leonard and the cancer, and Dan with a COPD, Amanda with a breast cancer, John, so that when he goes to see the doctors, they're going to figure out why he keeps falling, other than we know it's gravity. For Brent, we thank you for continuing to healing his leg. And Father, we just thank you for all of this in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hey, by the way, happy Father's Day. If you got your Bibles, open to Genesis chapter 1. You know, what is it that makes up a godly dad? It's a good thing to think about, because there's a whole lot more to it than what the world wants you to think there is. In fact, the world sees masculinity as something that's toxic. Like they think that being white is toxic. I mean, come on. I thought we were beyond all of that. Well, they want to drag us back through the mud again. I mean, they got all these crazy ideas about what a dad is and what a dad does. I mean, just watch on TV from Married with Children, which is long since gone. I mean, everything is harpooning the dad, you know. They want you passive. They want you neither male nor female. They call that androgynous. They want you to be the pushover that's only right when his wife agrees with him. That masculinity is a mental health problem that needs to be eradicated. Can you imagine? Now, I understand that there's a ditch on either side of the road. You can be a wimp if you want, or you can be this you know, heavy-handed, you know, John Wayne kind of a, I'm Mr. Right, I'm always right kind of a fella. And both of those are ditches that fellas want to stay out of. But there's a whole lot of ground between the two ditches that God wants us to walk in, and he wants to walk with us. So when I'm looking at what a godly dad is, I got to go to God, because he's my heavenly Father, isn't he? So in Genesis chapter 1, let's go here to verse 26, because we're talking about the way God meant this be to begin with. I know nowadays they want 27 different genders. God said there's two. Pick one. Better yet, I'll pick it for you. But it goes on in verse 26, and then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So what do we see here? First and foremost, we see when God created man, he created him to be just exactly like him. I know that I was always born as a boy. You know, I had a guy brain growing up, you know, and thing in my heart that I wanted to be was, I want to be just like my dad. Well, when your dad is God, like Adam had, you can be just like him in many, many ways. Even today, for us today, as men that are godly men in Christ, we have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We got the same Holy Spirit living on the inside of us as who lived in Jesus. And when he did all the miracles for those 3.5 years in his ministry. Think about it. He gave us dominion. That means to rule. That means to take responsibility over. And it's over all the earth, everything that's on it. We're supposed to take it, take care of it, and make it better. Even God, when he created the garden and, you know, and he put Adam in the middle of it, he gave Adam a job. So we're called to work. And that job was to dress and to keep and to till the garden. Take care of it. Don't let the weeds take over, you know. So God expects some things for us. And he expects us to make the corrections when things go sideways, but always in partnership with him. I mean, we know as guys, you don't have to look too far to find out where we mess up, because everybody does. We're all broken in one way or another. We all see through a glass darkly. But when we're walking with the Lord and taking this as our responsibility, it gets a whole lot easier every time you get on your knees and say, Lord, I need some help over here. It's a powerful thing. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, like I said, he took the man and put him in the garden to tend it and to keep it. So we got a purpose. We've got a purpose as men. And we were to share in the creation story. Just like when God brought all the critters before Adam and says, you put the name on them, that's what their character is going to be. Adam got to have a role in creation. So as I look at it, God's called us to guide and to guard and to govern this planet, to maintain the perfection that God had created. And here's the cool thing. When God put Adam in the garden, I don't know if you realize this or not, but he'd already whipped the devil and one third of the angels and cast him out of heaven to the earth. Because you read Genesis 1:1, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the earth. It was in total darkness and utter chaos. God didn't create it that way. But when he booted the devil out with his crowd, they came down to the earth, and buddy, they took everything and just went, it all went sideways and ugly. And right smack dab in the middle of that, that's where God, you know, of all the planets that he could have picked out in the universe, he picked out this one on purpose, even though the devil was here. And I think that might have had a good deal to do with it. Because he wants to raise us up in the middle of all of that and show the enemy what grace and love can truly produce. Amen. Now, I personally, if I had my say in the matter, and I didn't, I'd have suggested some other planet. I mean, who needs all the grief, right? But that was God's plan, and we're here to guide. We're here to direct the people that would follow the ways of the Lord after us so mankind could flow in harmony with the Father. We're there to guide them. We're not only there to guide them, but there to guard them, to protect it from the things that would try to diminish and destroy. As dads, as men, we're there all the time facing down the adversary and prevailing him. Here wasn't that long ago, Israel had over 2,000 rockets that were fired into the civilian population. They got this thing called the Iron Dome, which basically is a missile intercept thing. So it's like when, you know, like you see these in these crazy movies and stuff where somebody shoots the bullet and another guy shoots the bullet that hits the bullet. Well, it's, yeah, no. But they do that with missiles. And it's really amazing. So sometimes we as dads, we got to be the Iron Dome to make sure that the enemy doesn't come through and start messing with our loved ones. Amen? And we're there to govern. We're to guide, to guard, and the governing part is using only the authority and responsibility that God gave us to promote His kingdom and His will. And be truthful about it, we do it primarily by example. So in other words, we can't say, well, do as I say and not as I do. That doesn't work. Never has and never will. No little boy will continually honor his father when he keeps seeing that. Go over here to John chapter 20. Because you got to see this fact that God wants you to walk in His footsteps. And you can do it. You can do it. Not in your own strength, but you can do it because you are tied to the greater one. And when you do, oh my goodness, you begin to see some things. You begin to know things by revelation. I had a fellow ask me a couple weeks ago, says, why do people get defensive? Now, man, I tell you what, right out of my spirit jumped this thing, because they're afraid of being shamed. That's why people get real defensive when you challenge them when they say or do things. And this fellow's been dealing with a lot of that. His whole life's been that way because he was raised under the thumb of shame his whole life. And it's totally scarred his life to the point where now he creates shame in other people. I says, it's a fear of shame. And he texted me right back and said, oh, ouch. Well, the enemy, that's his capital. That's what he likes to promote. Shame and fear and all that. But you know what Jesus said to the women at that came to the tomb when he said in John 20 and verse 17, he said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father, and catch this, and your Father. To my God and to your God. So what's he trying to convey here? Because for the longest time, all through the Old Testament, ever since Adam blew it in the garden, people were dealing with God in a way that they didn't really understand Him, and so they feared Him, and I mean scared feared Him, not reverential awe fear. They had all kinds of problems, and they were constantly trying not to offend Him, and yet God says, I'm going to be your dad. He says He gave us the spirit of adoption so we could call Him Abba Father. It means He's our daddy. And He wants us to see Him that way. So that we will begin to see ourselves the way He sees us. I want to be just like my dad. See, as dads, we face this wickedness that's in the world all day long, out in the you know, the job market and all that. I know Jerry, he did all kinds of work out there as a corrections officer. How'd you like to have that job? Yeah, not too many of them live to retirement. The stress is off the charts. Talk about walking in through the gates of hell, man. Every day you clock in, that's where you're at. And some of the guards were kind of harsh because they were dealing with the scum of the earth, and other guys like Jerry, they just tried to connect with the fellas as best they could. Because you're walking among them and you're not armed. And you're outnumbered big time. But you see, as fathers, we do that in every different arena of life. And the crazy thing is that we've got to be able to do that and then turn around and come back home and just promote nothing but love. We face violence, we face adversity, judgmentalism, we face shame and insults, and yet we've got to project faith, hope, and love. And you've got to have God to do that. Because after a while, the darkness starts to wear on you. After a while, your nerves start to get frayed, and every little thing makes you jumpy. We see this today with people dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome. My gosh. I mean, they're just expecting whatever, whether it was from the warfare or somewhere where, you know, where they're out on the field of battle or even at home. I know a person who was beaten so severely that they almost died at the hands of their spouse. Was being choked out. It came this close to murder. And to this day, they still deal with the effects of that. Any little thing that comes along can trigger it. But you see, if we're walking with God, we got to deal with these things. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. And we got to make sure as men, godly men, that when we come home, that we project the peace of God and the love of God. We've got to be able to take that off. Back when I first got married, I was working at Midwest Foundry. Boy, that was the days. And the thing was, is, you know, my bride, I'd come home, you know, and she said, well, take your clothes off on the back porch. You ain't bringing that crud in here. And I'm like, what? Because I'm, you know, I got a guy brain. What? We can sweep it up now. In fact, it got to the point where I was taking, you know, a bag with my clothes and a towel in it and, you know, the soap and whatnot because they had a shower room there in the foundry. So when I got done, I could walk in the door when I got home. I thought that was a pretty good idea. But, you know, the world tries to contaminate us with all of this mess that they consider to be normal. And as Christian men, we cannot allow that to be influencing our families. We got to be willing to stand in the day of battle. We've got to be willing to go toe-to-toe with the devil, eye-to-eye, and do spiritual warfare on their behalf. Because you know what? If somebody breaks into my house, they got to go through me before they get to my wife. It's just the way it is. It's a guy thing. I don't know if it's a man code or maybe I watch too many Westerns. I don't know, but whatever. Where they, you know, They keep all the cows and stampede all the women or whatever it was. I don't know. But it's the same thing in the spirit realm. Because the enemy comes and seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can't get to you as the man of the house, he'll get to your wife or he'll get to your kids or your grandkids or your great-grandkids. Yesterday we had the coolest experience where my 18th great-grandchild, 9 days old, still under warranty. Little bitty wiggler. Alita is her name. And I got to hold her. Ooh, in fact, they set her down in my easy chair in her little car seat and all of that stuff. And they're just jabbering away and talking about everything. And I went over there to her and I'm like, here, let me help you. And little bitty fingers, 9 days old. And I carefully got her out from underneath that harness and everything else and pulled her out. And she's like, oh, thank you. She hates that chair. So Grandpa was there to rescue her. And it was the coolest thing. You know, I held her for a little while and then handed her off to my wife because I've been married 47 years. I know what I got to do, you know. I'll get my chance later on, but I'm not hogging this little bitty thing. But it's the most beautiful, most precious gift. That's right. To hold a tiny little bitty baby like that. But you see, that's the gentleness that we've got to have as godly fathers. To put up with all of the harsh stuff and promote only the good stuff. And we can do it with God's help. That's the power that's there. But you can't do it in your own strength. In Isaiah 55, it says, you don't have to turn there, but it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And it says, the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. Now that's Old Testament. You know, the Bible says today that we have access to the mind of Christ because we're born again. Oh yeah. So the more, as dads, that we stay in the Word, the more that we practice Christianity and the love that goes along with it and discipline ourselves to be more and more like Christ instead of just whatever we feel like doing, God gets glorified and our families get blessed because honor comes to those who walk in honor. God is saying it to us through this. He says, you can do it your way or you can do it my way. In other words, you can do it the hard way or you can do it the easy way. Do it my way and you'll see the incredible results, or you can do it your way and be like Cain, who had to do everything and make do by the sweat of his own brow. That's how he made his living. See, with God, three strikes, you're not out. With God, you can thrive or you can just survive, and it's your choice. So it's important that we discover the why behind every bit of love. Why is love so powerful? Because it brings life. Why is love so powerful? Because it always encourages the other person. When we develop that Philippians chapter 2 kind of an attitude, if you get a chance this week or today, just read your Bible in chapter 2 of Philippians. Paul's just laying it out, putting other people ahead of yourself. Live for something bigger than you. Let God influence your life, and He'll bring up so many good things that you couldn't possibly produce in 100 lifetimes. So let's look at the Master's plan for being a dad. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. What do they call women now? You can't call them mothers. They're what? Birthing?
Birthing people.
Birthing people. I'm surprised they didn't use birthing unit.
Oh.
You know.
You
know, just when you think the world has gone slap crazy, it's like, no, they can outdo that stupid with something way beyond what you'd ever come up with. Birthing person.
Birthing person.
Hi, birthing person, can I have a cookie? Can you imagine how that'd work around your house when you was growing up?
What about adoptive parents?
A what?
Adoptive parents.
Yeah, I don't know.
What are they called?
They'll come up with something. But look what God has. He says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, He says, husbands, love your wives as just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. It's obvious here when God's trying to get it through to us in this particular portion of Scripture that being the dad doesn't mean you're boss hog, calling all the shots, being the master and commander of all that we see. Just do it my way. Yeah. I'm ashamed of myself to admit this, but for the first 10 years of my married life, I was a chauvinist pig and my wife was my old lady. But then I got a hold of Jesus, and yeah, Jesus got a hold of me. That's my daughter you're messing with. Don't mess with my daughter, you know. It's like every young man when he has his first little daughter. It's so fun watching my grandson Blake, because here's this little 9-day-old Alita. And before she was even born, we were talking, he goes, yep, going to get me a Remington 870 pump shotgun. So when them boyfriends come over, I'll be cleaning that shotgun and just rack one in the chamber and look them in the eye and put the fear of God in them, you know. I warned him. I said, 2 seconds after you see that little girl, she's going to have you wrapped around her little finger and it's all over but the crying. Forget it. Don't even try to resist. It makes no difference. She's going to have your heart. And sure enough, she did. Because my grandson Blake, he's my ready, fire, aim grandson. He's always been the one with way too much testosterone, you know, and all of this stuff, and now he's just a puddle. It is so cool to watch. I mean, he doesn't have any problems if she gets, you know, of course, babies, if stuff goes in one end, comes out the other end, you know, and no problem cleaning up. No matter what it is, he's right there, because, man, she's got him. That little bitty girl's got him, big time, man. It's so cool to watch that. But you see, when you're the husband, you're the one who's the main servant. You're the one who is the giver of life. You're the high priest of the house. You're there to help your wife to find out who she is in Christ to the maximum ability. And the coolest thing is, as a husband, if I pour all of my goodness into her unconditionally, and then she turns around and pours all her love back into me unconditionally as a reflection of that, there's no limit to how good a marriage can be. When I say at 47 years, 48 come Groundhog Day, that we're still on our honeymoon, I'm not kidding. Because we live for each other. Just like it says right here in Ephesians 5. It's a piece of cake if you're living out of the new man. Oh, yeah. I'd been burned by several girlfriends before I ran into my fiance who became my wife. And you know what? I'm just living out of the past. And fear. And all the other ways that people will abuse each other. But you know, love overcomes it all. It did with Jesus. Now, I can't control her will. Never have. Ain't even going to try. That's up to her. So like I said before, I've never made her happy a single day in our marriage. Never made her mad either. That's her choice. But my desire is to give her every opportunity to live a life filled with joy, a life filled with peace. So how do you bake the cake? What's the recipe? Go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to see this. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Kyle's going to pop it up there on the New King James, but you'll get the gist of it. It said, love is patient and kind. It's not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up. Yeah. Never loses faith. Is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Hey, we live in a world that demands perfection, don't we? Yeah. And everybody's in a mad rush to get all they can and to can all they get. And if you work for somebody else, it doesn't matter how much money he made last year, he wants to make even more money, so he's expecting you to work twice as hard. We're seeing this now where so many places where you go to work, they don't have enough people to want to get back off of unemployment. So if you're the employee, then you got to pull the work of two people. It's ridiculous. 6-7 day weeks and all that stuff. But we're supposed to walk in love, aren't we? All the negativity that tries to suck the life out of you, don't let it get to you, because if you're walking in love, you're insulated from it. You may feel it, but it don't get a hold of you because you found a life-giving way. And all the mistakes that are out there, most of them, as soon as you make the mistake, you're done. I like the story about the guy, the executive in Coca-Cola company that came up with a big brainstorm idea of the new Coke. Remember that way back in the day? Was it back in the 80s or something like that? New Coke! Yeah, it was basically Coke that tasted like Pepsi. Be honest about what it was. Because there was two kinds of people in the world. There was Coke people and Pepsi people. Adam's family or the Munsters, you know. You can go on and on and on, you know. So he did all of that, and of course the company lost billions of dollars. I mean, their sales tanked so bad. It's ridiculous. Now they're coming out with all these seltzers and all these healthy drinks and things like that, because they got to keep the Benjamins flowing, you know. But when they came to the point where they realized the only way out of this is to do a 180-degree turn, get rid of the new Coke and go back to classic Coke, that's where they came back with a classic, you know. which is basically old coat. And when they asked why the CEO didn't fire this executive that caused this tremendous amount of destruction and financial ruin in the company, they said, why would I fire him? He just got a $1 billion education. Kept him on. Yeah. Sometimes you learn by your mistakes, don't you? You better. See, that's what dads do. They take every failure as a learning experience. So when your kids crash and burn, when the wife, I remember when I first got married, my wife treated me like a god. She served me burnt offerings on a regular basis. She didn't know how to cook. She was the baby of the family. She's looking straight ahead, but she's grinning. She didn't know how to cook because as the baby of the family, her only job was to do the dishes afterwards. So her mom never really taught her how to cook. So when I married her, you know, I didn't marry her for her cooking abilities. But anyway, there were just times where, you know, the supper just didn't turn out. Let's face it. It wasn't fit for human consumption. And that's okay, baby. Let's go out and get a bite to eat. It's all right. Dry your tears. See, when you make a mistake, a dad is there to lift you back up again. Failure's never final unless you quit. Now she's one of the, I got testimony right here. She's one of the finest cooks, I tell you what. That girl takes care of me. Bought her, I don't know how many different cookbooks along the way. Why? Because she wanted to be better at what she did. To her, it was an act of love to be able to do the cooking. And I like cooking too, but all things aside, I like her cooking better than I like mine. So it's a perfect way to live because you're living in love. I choose to give my family and others a patient and a kind attitude. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about, isn't it? I'm patient and I'm kind. I'm not saying I've mastered this, okay? But I'm finding out that I'm getting better and better at it. Maybe you say, I don't know what it is, when you turn into a grandpa, all of a sudden you got the patience you never had as a dad. It just kind of grows on you. Everybody wants patience. They say, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. And they wonder why they don't get it. I mean, we're just careful to love on our kids. It's not three strikes and you're out. It's not like we have a cow because you got a C or a D on your report card. That's okay. We can get through that. What can I do to help? Just don't bring out that new math because, come on. See, love says I'm going to believe in you for as long as it takes. For as long as it takes. I know you'll get there if you don't quit. I'll always be your cheerleader by focusing on your positives. The world always wants to shine the bright, glaring spotlight on your negatives, and everybody's got them. But why would I do that? Because the more secure you are, the more willing you are to take risks and go and attempt to do things you never thought you could do. For me, it was when I got into the Navy, and I decided I wanted to be a heavy equipment operator. I wanted to be a CB. Then I took the test. Great big test. I mean, my gosh. And out of that, they figured I could be a nuclear power reactor operator. I'm like, how'd they get from here to here? Come on. I'm working at the foundry, 2 years out of high school, and suddenly I'm studying nuclear power. I found out I could do a lot more than I could ever do before. And when you've got somebody that's encouraging you, somebody that's saying, that's all right. Because I don't know if you realize this or not, but the average millionaire in America has had at least 3 or 4 bankruptcies where they got totally wiped out and they got to start again from scratch. And convince somebody after they went bankrupt for the third time to go ahead and throw money at them so they can go out there and make another million. Don't give up. Love won't let you give up. Because I'll always be your cheerleader. You can do this. My grandson at the age of 17 figured he was the smartest person on the planet, and he was all done learning. So he takes off to Wisconsin by himself. Wisconsin. What's in Wisconsin besides cheese? And Green Bay Packers. Am I missing anything? I think that's about it. Well, anyway, he gets over there, and he's getting ready to go, and I said, you need help? You call. Everybody's freaking out because he's going over there, but we realize you ain't turning this kid's head. That's it. That's all. He's just going to have to run till he hits the wall and wakes up. Well, he actually did pretty good over there. But I slipped him a little money for mad money because he didn't hardly have anything. He started working with some Amish people over there, and he's building pole barns. Next thing you know, he's got his own business. He's not even 18. But I said, you go out and have your adventure. But if you need me, call me. It's not that far away. I'll drive out there and get you. No problem. If you need some help, come on. Just, I'm not giving up on you just because you're doing something that I'm pretty sure is crazy. But it's your life. That's what dads do, especially grandpas. When the world demands that we have this take care of number one attitude, love tells me I'm going to have it a different way. So I'm not going to get jealous because you're doing better than me. I'm not going to brag on my accomplishments. I'm not going to get all twisted up and get all hung up on my accomplishments because it's not about me. Life is not about you. When we first started out as children, we're totally dependent. Like a little bitty 9-day-old Alita. She just started going, Next thing you know, she was hungry. It wasn't until her dad buckled her back into that car seat that she let a whale go out. But you know. But you see, as a dad, you're just whatever it takes. It's okay. It's not about me. I'd rather lift you up than anything else. My grandson Seth, I'd been talking to him for all the different years, you know, as he was growing up about going up and salmon fishing, catching the 30-pound king salmon. Feel like Jaws. I think we need a bigger boat, you know, because they'll drag you around the river. And I said, yeah, it's like hooking the bumper of a passing Buick. And Seth's like, yeah, Grandpa, you know, because grandpas talk like that all the time. So one time he was able to come up with me. And we got out there on that river, and by golly, he hooked one, and he could not believe it. Now, Seth stands about, what, 6'4"? 6'2"? About 320 right now. He's gotten fluffier as he's gotten older. He's on his own. But he was a big kid. I mean, he was so big we couldn't even find chest waders for him to wear, so he just put flip-flops on and a pair of shorts and waded out in the cold river, and he's fine, you know. I wouldn't last 5 minutes. I'd cramp up, and somebody had to drag me to shore. But anyway, just to see the look on his face when he hooked that salmon was worth more than if I had caught 100 of them that day. I just enjoyed seeing him get so blessed and so excited. That's what dads do. I'm going to put you first in everything. God already knows how well I did, and you know, and that's enough for me. Because you know what? True living is living for something bigger than yourself. That's a beautiful thing. So no matter how tough the day that I've had, 1 Corinthians 13 is telling me that, you know what? That I'll give you the very best I have. So I'm going to do my best trying to not be grouchy, even though I've had the most horrible day. And I'm dragging back into the house. That's not what you're going to get. Well, that's what I got. About 8 hours of it. But none of this grouchy, fault-finding, keeping score, always looking for the negatives, because that's what men live in. That's the reality of the world that we live in. And we got to go out and rub shoulders with people like that all the time. Going to focus more on the solutions than on the problems. I've said that a number of times to Pastor Victor, the Hispanic church pastor, because he's always concerned that somehow or another they're going to do something wrong and I'm going to get mad and throw them out. I said, well, if you got a problem, we'll just work through it. You don't ignore the problem, but you don't fixate on the problem. You work on finding the solution to the problem. Simple. It's easy. Nobody's a bad guy here. Because nothing good has ever been built on negatives. I don't know if you know that or not. No. No more gloating. 1 Corinthians 13 tells me I can't gloat because karma finally come along and bit that guy in the butt who's been giving me grief all my days. No. No. I know that everybody messes up. And as a dad, you know what? Me too. But humility reminds me that I've done far worse, and God has put me through the mess. He's pulled me all the way through it every single time. So that's the love I want to project to other people. I'll never give up on myself. I'm still under construction as a dad. Yep. I think, was it in a month, we're going to have our 20th great-grandchild? Two more coming, two more in the oven. Yeehaw! I'm learning. It's taken me a while. But the beauty of it is if this is your desire and you ask God, He's going to help you. Because love never fails. For one simple reason, love never quits. Love never quits. If you get knocked down, you get back up again. And I'll always have God's hope for you. As your spiritual father here as a pastor, to my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, and of course to my beautiful wife. See, as a man of God, we want, God expects us to first of all know the way. Do you know the way of life? Are you looking? Are you studying the Word? Are you spending time with Him in prayer? That's how you're going to know the way. I find out by going through my Heavenly Father, He knows the way for me. And everybody's way is just a little bit different. It's unique. But not only do I have to know the way, but I've got to go the way. Learning about it is one thing. Doing it is something entirely different. It's like the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge knows that tomatoes are fruit. But wisdom says you don't put them in a fruit salad. Just saying. I like tomatoes, but they don't go in there with the strawberries. That's all. Wisdom is there because God wants to bring us through. So I know the way. Now I'm going to go the way because I can't expect anybody to follow me unless I'm setting the example. Unless I'm the one who's saying I'm here and I'm for you. And let me tell you about the time that I messed up to take the pressure off you just a little bit. Because anger just seems to boil up all too often in families. And it doesn't do anybody any good at all. So once I know the way and I go the way, now I got to show you the way. So the power of God is there for all of us. And we can pass it on down to our family members as godly dads, even better as godly grandpas, and even better than that for godly great-grandpas. Because the more we learn, the more we become like Him. So we're going to face the enemy head on. Because that's what men do. That's part about being masculine. Like what John Wayne said, fear is just, you know, you just saddle up and go at it anyway. That's what courage is. Even though you're scared, you get after it. So we'll face the enemy head on, full of faith, to make sure that our loved ones are free. We'll be the voice and the example of God's love, because that's what they need. They need that reassurance. They need to see it in us as men. We're going to be patient to a fault. We're going to be there being kind no matter what. We're going to see the positives and promote the solutions more than the problems. I'm going to put your needs over my own. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about. It's the practical side of it. We're going to remain joyful in adversity. That takes a little faith. And hopeful. We're going to be someone who never gives up, who never loses hope. So help me God. That's what it's all about. So for dads who carry the weight of the world on their shoulders, along with Jesus' help, and provide so much love and mercy, we just salute you today, fathers. It's a perfect day to remember how much God loves you and how much love He's invested in you and how much love you have to give away. Amen. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for hanging on. Amen. And we got a gift we'd like to give to you, fathers. So, Merle, can you handle that? You want to grab that? Richard, give him a hand, will you? Now, as a dad, with my son and my daughter growing up, it was almost impossible to keep flashlights around. Because they'd steal them. And they'd sit underneath their covers when they're supposed to be sleeping, with a flashlight, reading their comic books or whatever they were reading. And of course, they never shut the thing off. So whenever I found it, what, you going to hit me with a shillelagh?
Coming through.
Coming through. Be nice.
I'm using my cane.
Be nice, you old coot.
Come on, John.
He don't know. Come on. Did you get your flashlight, Merle?
Not yet.
Well, what you in such a hurry for? What are we going to do? But these flashlights are really bright. They're nice, they're the LED kind. Goes good in your, gosh, I can clear to the back wall there. That's pretty good. I got one of these in my glove box in my truck, and it's rescued me a couple times. So you got to know the way, you got to go the way, and then you got to show the way. So you'll be the light. When people see Jesus in you, they'll see the light. And it'll make their lives so, so much better. Richard, you get one? All right. Cool. Mark, did you get one? Come on, brother. I know you're out there on guard duty. Yeah. Richard says these are really good for trailing deer. If you get one at night and you got to go find where they went down. So we just want to say, fellas, that you're blessed. And we're so glad that you took up the mantle of being a dad. Learned it the hard way. See, when I first became a dad, I had no idea that the instruction manual was right here. I sure wished I'd had that. I'd saved myself a lot of bumps and bruises along the way. Would have done a much better job. But the grace of God is there for all of us. So ladies, be sweet to your husbands. Husbands, you know what to do. Keep blessing your wife. I don't know if you know this or not, but wives are multipliers. So if you pour good things into them, guess what? They multiply good things, you get good things coming back to you. But if you pour negative things into them, they multiply that too. So be wise and watch what God will do. Just walking with Him one step at a time, looking for every blessing, amen? Because they're right there in front of you. Amen? Amen. Don't forget to sign up back there. We need some help with a few more things on the food list, but definitely for helping with the setup on Saturday at 5 o'clock. So if you could do that, we would really appreciate it. And don't forget, next week is the last week for collecting for Tommy's house for their foodstuffs. And you guys have been awesome with that. So go and enjoy your Father's Day blessing. Give the devil a headache this week. Amen. We'll see you on Wednesday. Talking about living a supernatural life of signs and wonders. And I hope you come to learn. Amen. We'll see you then. God bless you.